Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, as we know, everyone is very concerned these days about how they might meet somebody, who they might meet and how they might meet them. Obviously, there's been the massive revolution, I suppose, in online dating. But the search for love, the quest, is an eternal one. And I'm now going to be talking to people who are in the business of helping others find something that really means a lot to them over the years and so on. It could be a possible marriage partner, but it could be just a relationship. But we're not talking about the Tinder world here. We're not talking about the speed dating world. We're talking about something more meaningful, and that is the matchmaking industry. So joining me here in studio is Fergal Harrington, who's the MD and co-founder of Intro Matchmaking. I also have Sharon Kenny, who is a relationship expert and the founder of The Matchmaker. And also on the phone line is Jennifer Haskins, who is the founder of Two's Company, the dating agency. You're all three of you are very welcome. I'll start and give priority to my in-studio guests first, and then we'll talk a little bit to Jennifer. So, Fergal, I'll go to you first. I mentioned Tinder in the intro, and obviously there's a massive online dating world. So some people, terrible people, might be listening and saying, I don't need any matchmakers. It's all online and on my phone. What would you say to that?
Well, no, I suppose we're in business now 16 years and it's grown year on year because of the, I suppose, the dangers and the insecurities of people dealing with so many people who are deceitful online and who are not well-intentioned. And so if you're a well-intentioned person who's looking, who's 35, looking to settle down, start a family, get married and have kids, and if you're repeatedly met with people who are wasting your time, it becomes shattering to confidence levels. So there's a huge exhaustion from online dating.
So do you see yourself as kind of like a filter?
We filter. Well, we do filter. Even on top of that, when people are contacting us to join, we still don't automatically take them on. We speak to them. We make sure we can manage expectations and meet their criteria. If we can't, we say no straight away. We're quite direct about that. If we can, we bring them in. But there are policies in place that are based on stats from CSO figures and census results that everyone has to agree with. Otherwise, we won't take them on. But it is the exhaustion of online, and it's the need for privacy and confidentiality in this country, especially, that is why people are coming to matchmakers.
So in a strange way, you're saying the advent and the transformation brought by the online world has actually made the need for you more in a strange way.
The more crazy stories that you hear, the more it drives businesses to the likes of ourselves.
Okay, Sharon, matchmaking, the industry doing well, as Fergal says, and has found a gap. When people come to you in particular, what are they looking for? Is it just a partner, romance? Is it married? What are they coming to you ultimately to try and do? What's their objective?
They're looking for love. They're looking for that companion to settle down with. They're looking for someone to be their soulmate. They're looking for marriage at the end of the day. So I meet everyone face to face, and I feel that's vital, and that's stepping away completely from the AI side of things. And it's so important to meet those people. Excuse me. So you see their vibe, their energy, their where they're coming from, and you get that genuine person behind who you're going to matchmake them with. So it's all about meeting people face to face with me.
So is it tough to build up your pool? Because obviously you need more and more people to come into it. If you only have three clients, and then, you know, in other words, it's you need to build volume, don't you?
Well, I'm at it 20 years. So because of that, I do have a really strong client base where I get a lot of referrals from. And I've started a TikTok. And the TikTok, actually, I do that for people who can't actually afford matchmakers. But it gives them a sense of belonging and where they're going right, where they're going wrong, where they're making their mistakes. So it's all about linking them to just believing that love is out there for them. Because nowadays, more than ever, you find that people feel that there's nothing and they're going the wrong way, and they feel that this is the last chance going to the matchmaker or an agency, and they put their heart and soul into it. So it's handling their expectations.
Well, that's to say, the expectation management, you mentioned marriage, which is a high bar, right? That's the highest of high bars, financially.
Well, most people want kids. They want to settle down.
I'll come on to the kids. Yeah. You've never been married as a kid, right? So, but what I suppose the point I'm making is there somebody that will come to you to say, no, I don't want to get married, or I've already been married. I just want to be in a relationship long term, but I don't want to get hooked into a marriage relationship. Or do you say no?
Yes, you're not they are.
Okay.
And if they say that, obviously, I'd match them with someone who says, listen, I am in my 50s and I've got my family
there,
and I've got
there,
my kids and I don't want to go through that again. And then if there's someone that's like that, but if someone comes to me and just says, I'm looking for a hookup. No way. No way. That's not this business.
And have you had that often where somebody says,
pure
one night stand I'm looking for, right?
There'd be people who would say that. And you'd say, sorry, you're in the wrong. And
they get off the phone fairly lively if you tell them that they need to abide by certain rules.
Yeah.
We have 7 staff members here on Grafton Street who organise up to 100 dates a week. And we're booked out for appointments on Saturdays for 4 months and Sundays for 6 months. Just to give you an idea, and we're getting more and more people joining. 20 to 93 is the age range, but over the 50s, as Sharon says, is totally
now,
right.
Now, can I talk to you a little bit about the business side, right, which a lot of our listeners are interested in? Is it you get paid on delivery
of
goods, which is a very dehumanising way of describing it? Is it if a marriage happens? Is it how does the business model operate for most of you?
5 guaranteed introductions that everybody gets, and they will pay upfront at the point of being booked in for the consultation. So we verify their identity at the point of booking them in for the consultation. That happens either in person on Grafton Street or virtually, because the members that we have are from not only just Ireland, but we had 3 last week join from America, for instance, because of what's going on. They're looking for a bit of normality. So
it's the non-Trump dating scene.
There you are. Yeah. So and that's happening more and more. But they're coming in and they're paying at the point of being booked in. So you know that their name matches the address and the address matches the car details. And I know then if I'm booking in John for Thursday.
You're not like a recruitment agency who take a fee when the lands in the
job.
Well, I actually do.
You go the other
way. I let people pay half when I meet them, and then they don't pay the other half till I get the
Let me bring in my third guest, who's Jennifer Haskins. Jennifer, do you want to comment on just the business model and how sustainable matchmaking is and how it all operates?
Yes, Emma. Well, for example, I'm listening to both Fergal and Sharon there. My model would be slightly different in that, for example, I don't take people on until I actually do the consultation with them, because I have to get a sense of the individual. I do have a prerequisite, and that is that everybody that comes to me, they have to be looking for something long-term and sustainable. So authentic is very important here. So it's not casual dating. So what it does is it really, really sorts out the people that want something genuine from the people who just want, as they both said, casual dating. So we don't do casual dating. It has to be somebody looking for marriage, a second relationship, you know, so somebody that's already been married and maybe separated or divorced or widowed. So we cater for people equally from about 30. My oldest member at the moment is 82. And as far as I'm concerned, so long as people are looking for something authentic, they're looking for love, then I'm happy to take them on. But I do the same. I go through everything to make sure that I, you know, validate everybody's identity. But it's very important that I get a sense of them. I am a qualified counsellor, psychotherapist and coach. So I have a lot of training behind me. But then again, you know, 20 years in the business also, I mean, that is worth more than any formal training.
And Jennifer, you heard Sharon mentioning earlier expectation management, which is a sensible way to go. I mean, how do you do that? Like certain people are not going to get that long-term relationship and they might come back to you and say, well, you know, I paid all this money and it didn't work out. So how do you, as the kind of the manager of the client, how do you deal with that part?
Yeah. Well, you've got to deal with people's expectations and you've got to make sure that they're being realistic about it. So if someone comes to me and, you know, they have a sort of a checkbox and, you know, I will talk to them about that. I'll talk to them about their past relationships and what they are looking for in a future relationship. And like that, you know, if they need coaching or if they need some advice around that to, you know, maybe to expand what they are looking for, because an open mind is very important here. And what people also have to realize is that what they're bringing to the table, what they are offering. So to look at themselves and say, well, okay, am I ready for a relationship? Am I emotionally in the right place? Because when I'm matching people up, I try to make sure that they're both on the same page, looking for the same things.
That's very important. Let me bring Fergal in on that. Fergal, let's talk about the actual nub of this, which is matching two people up.
Yep.
Is it as simple as matching like people up? So in other words, this person is wealthy and I'm going to match them with another wealthy person. This person is from a rural area, I'm going to match them with a rural person. Are you trying to put the interest together, or do you sometimes actually say, no, it's a bit more of a yin and yang?
It's more yin and yang. Well, we have 7 people discussing the reasons why John is right for Mary, but we will only take on the people who we know we stand a chance of matching in the first place. So no one gets in unless they agree with the same policies. And if you do that and if you stick to that, then you know
And I have to ask you this question, which I suppose everyone will be screaming at the radio, is, what's a no-no? In other words, you're saying people have certain attributes that are...
So they won't travel anywhere. So John will ring from Tralee and he'll say, I only want to meet women living in Tralee. because I'm a farmer there. And then you'll get Mary, who lives in D6 and only wants to meet guys in D6. So an unwillingness to travel is a massive issue. Okay, with
so that's a very practical thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about somebody's age, looks, yes. So personality type, yeah. All those things? Run me through some of those.
We'll look at hobbies, interests, characteristics, core values, family values, future goals, looks. But the point is, 65-year-old Johnny rings up and thinks, now it's time I should start a family. So I want a 30 to 35-year-old. So I'll pay this guy at intro for a 35-year-old. And he thinks because he's willing to pay for a service, he's going to get it. So we have to say no at the very outset. But so it will match, yeah, if a guy calls and he says, I'm 45 and I want a 24-year-old, no 24-year-old woman wants to meet him. We're the eldest now.
You're saying that not me, right?
Well, we're the oldest. I know we were talking about maternity hospitals earlier on, or you were, but we're the oldest now as a nation in terms of getting married and having kids. It's 31 and a half average age of a woman to have kids, 38 to get married for a man, 36 for a woman to get married. But then...
Okay, well, take the age thing out for a second, yeah. Because you could just match them up in the broad age category, right? Maybe we'll bring you into this one, Sharon.
Yeah.
So the age thing is, in a sense, the easy one. You're 42, this person's 43, that's fine, thank you very
yeah.
much. But what about matching the other bits up? The looks, the income, as Fergal has mentioned, the yeah. area. In other words, what sort of environment are they from? What's their sort of area they live in and the kind of life they lead?
Yeah.
What about matching those bits up?
Well, at the matchmaker, I always go through the profile and I insist that I will stick to what they want. So I send out a profile of the person that they're going out on the date with. And if they say, I want to go 30 okay, miles, I allow them go 30 miles.
Let's take the male client first. What do yeah. most of the men want?
Men would... Because I have men from every age group, they would say, oh, I'd like to go my age or maybe 10 years younger. Now, like that, I always say, have you got an older sister? And if they've got an older sister, I'll say, will you go a couple of years older? So I push them to go older. And I say, what if she's as fit as you? What if she's... So my job is to kind of... But you've make both that made, area
yeah,
bigger.
You've both so, made this point that men are looking for someone younger. What are yeah. women looking for?
Women are looking younger nowadays as well. Okay. So they well, go...
There we go. We have a perfect yeah. match.
I get a 50-year-old woman who'll ring and say, I identify yeah. as a 40-year-old because my Garmin watch tells me I'm 40.
Oh,
so
it's
I want
shocking.
A 40-year-old man.
But, yeah. but it won't work if everyone's looking for someone younger.
I
there's
know,
a problem.
But then,
somebody needs to be looking for someone older.
They're
that's
all
why
looking
you can't
for
take
people.
Her on, though. That's why when I say I can't get a 40-year-old man to meet a 50-year-old woman, she will often threaten to sue and say that's discrimination and sexist, which is not. It's just I can't force the 40-year-old man to meet her.
But women will go for older as well. Like I say to women, will you go for 10 years older? And that's kind of, and some
okay,
women will.
I don't want to get sidetracked with the age thing, yeah. even though it's fascinating.
The older they get, actually, the less they want to go for older people.
Okay, let's be ultimately yeah. very superficial here. Yeah. What's the story, Jennifer, I'll bring you in, on looks? How important okay. is that? Has that become less important as people get older? How big a thing is that?
Okay, well, I find that men are much more focused on image and how a woman looks. And I think it's innate in men to need that instant attraction. Obviously, I try and encourage them to look deeper and look for more qualities in the woman. A woman will look for the qualities in man. Is he going to be loyal? Is he going to be faithful? Is he going to be a good guy? How does he treat other people? So women will look for qualities within men.
Okay.
And so that's where you get this divide.
Fergal, I'm hearing a lot of men. This is not a great advertisement for men, what I'm hearing at the moment.
You know, men will say, look, I want someone who takes care of themselves, who looks after themselves, someone who doesn't need to be dolled up to the nines all the time, who can have just a relaxed casual walk down the road or down the beach or whatever. But yeah, but women will call and say, well, I don't want to meet anyone who let themselves go, or if he's a little bit overweight or whatever. But the thing
sorry, is, a little bit overweight. That's yeah. whole swathes of Irish men are out there.
There you go. But it's all very subjective. A lot of guys might be growing up throughout Ireland and being told by mammy that they're a lovely boy. So he might think he's Brad Pitt. So he rings up thinking that it's acceptable for me to ask for my Angelina. And when we have to bring him down to earth and realize...
I thought you were meant to defend us here.
Well, we just want a realistic image
yeah,
of what's coming back
from
the mirror.
It's all about realistic.
Yeah, Sharon, can I get back to the nice things you started with? You were sort of looking for love, was the phrase you used earlier.
Absolutely. Right?
What about all these softer things, companionship, being someone's mate, all the... Is any of that coming up on
it? Oh, it's coming up all the time because people are looking for connection and avoiding that rejection of the online side of things. And that's why matchmakers are busier than ever before. I've never been busier than I am now. And they're looking for to step away from all that fakeness that you were mentioning earlier about AI and step into understanding people who get their hobbies, people who get their interests, people who have the same values, just linking like with like, even down to looks, everything, fitness levels, everything, because that's what we want, that connection, and to avoid the rejection.
Fergal, yeah. I suppose the industry has a, like all industries, has a, an image, you know, has a certain image. And from what I'm picking up from you three, and again, I could be grossly unfair when I say this, but I would say a lot of listeners would say that's okay if you're in a higher professional role. It's a bit of an elite. And I know your companies, they tend to sort of be very upwardly mobile in the way you market and do your websites. Is that grossly unfair, or is that just the reality that you're, because you have to pay a fee, you are by self-selecting, your clients are generally high motivated, well-heeled people?
They could be absolutely stacking shelves in Tesco, or they could be multimillionaires. Mm. And quite often you wouldn't know that they're multimillionaires until you find out after the fact. But no, we charge the same amount for every single person. We don't have that kind of elitist stepping stone where we say we'll categorize you as a silver, gold or platinum. Because the way I view the clients coming in is I want them to be future brand ambassadors, telling everyone that they met through Intro. And a third of our business comes that way, because Irish people by and large will not shout it from the rooftop that they met through a dating agency.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
It's quite private, so we build it like it's a GP surgery. But no, it's not elitist in any way, shape or form. They all pay the exact same, and then they get the same exact level of service, and they're handpicked. So if you're ever looking to do this or do something and get away from the online dating sites, make sure that you can visit them, as you say, in an office scenario, that there's actual humans that are going to be making the decisions and it's not AI, and that there's no time limit on the actual membership. That's key. So when you join us, there's no time limit, and all of the dates are organised by us. That's the key.
Jennifer, I'll just bring in Jennifer a sec. Sorry, Sean. Jennifer, in terms of the last bit we haven't mentioned, which is income level, which, you know, is somewhat important in the current economic environment we live in. What about the matching there? I mean, first of all, does the person have to disclose all of those facts?
I never ask anybody what their earning power is or what their salary is, because I don't feel that's more important when it comes to matching people. Matching people with similar values is very, very important. But Fergal was just talking there about service. And one of the things I want to add to that is that I work a lot as well with international clients. So I work with two agencies in the UK as well that I'm affiliated with, and they would have international clients. So I do get people coming to me for that. But also, I do tailor-make memberships as well to suit individuals. And there's very much a continuity of service with me. So I do the initial consultation, I do the matching. So there's continuity of service throughout, so that I'm in contact with my clients. I'm very much, you know, it's a personal relationship with them. And with some people, I will project manage their membership from start to finish. So sometimes people will come to me and they want something more tailored or directed towards their individual needs.
Okay, listen, I have to say one thing. All three have done a great job of being ambassadors for the industry. If you've done nothing else, you've done that much. I have to leave the conversation there. Fergal Harrington on my right, he's the MD and co-founder of Intro Matchmaking.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.